Bus Stop. Written by Sweet Little Vampire. Read by SBL. Fandom, The Untamed. Relationship, Lan Chen, Lan Wenji, Wei Ying, Wei Wuxian. Rating, teen and up audiences. Summary. Sometimes taking a pause to look for the little things in life can lead you to the real big ones. Lan Wenji would have never thought that sheltering a stranger and his kid from the rain with his umbrella at a bus stop would turn his life upside down that much, but here we are. Sometimes, it's the little things that make life the most important and worthwhile. It's something that Lan Wenji learned very early on. He was raised to always be content with what he had, to follow a strict set of rules established by his family years ago to give the younger generations guidelines to live by and a good head start into adult life. While Lan Wenji still swears by many of these rules, moving out of his ancestral home and into his own apartment has taught him that sometimes rules need to be not broken necessarily, but rethought, reshaped. Some of Lan Wenji's very own rules include, but are not limited to, trying to get up early in the morning and getting to bed at a reasonable time, but not beating himself up over it if he doesn't manage to do so. Setting aside time in the evening dedicated to things he does just for fun, like reading poetry or playing music, as well as taking some time in the morning to just sit down and relax, take in the day, and start it in serenity. Lan Wenji's taken the habit of doing so at the White Magnolia Tea Parlor. It's located on his way to work. When it first opened, Lan Wenji used to go in and order a tea to go, which he then drank in his office, until he, one day, noticed the golden light falling through the large windows and decided on a whim to sit down and drink his tea in-house. It made him appreciate the tea more, and really savor its flavors. He took the time to observe the colorful patterns dancing on the floor, painted by the rays of sunshine falling through the trim of stained glass that frames all of the large windows of the parlor. Lan Wenji had not even noticed that there was stained glass on the windows. He realized that morning, while sipping his tea, that he had not been appreciating the little things in life enough, and decided that, instead of being 45 minutes early for work, 15 minutes early would suffice as well, if it meant that he could just look at things with no pressure and no obligation. His uncle would probably scold him for wasting his time with such silly idleness, but Lan Wenji doesn't consider this part of his routine to be silly. It grounds him for the day. Even his students have remarked that he seems calmer since he started spending a part of his mornings at the tea parlor. His uncle would also probably be fuming if Lan Wenji told him that he considers some of the old rules to be silly, like the one that said every male child of the family needed to have a courtesy name as soon as they reached the age of 12, despite the tradition being vastly out of fashion. Lan Wenji doesn't know anyone else who has a courtesy name and is not a member of the Lan family. The name his mother had given him was perfectly fine. There was no need for a new one. It was a pity that using said courtesy name has been drilled into him to the point that it has become second nature. He introduces himself with Lan Wenji. It's what his passport says. Even his brother calls him Wangji. Maybe it's for the best, Lan Wenji thinks. Whenever he thinks of his childhood name, he hears it in his mother's voice. She was the last one to call him Lan Chen instead of Lan Wenji, his uncle having started using Wangji as a way of addressing him when he turned 5 years old.
That way, you will get used to it,
Lan Qizhen had told him. Lan Wenji shakes his head. The past is the past. Now is now, and right now his tea will get cold if he doesn't stop ruminating. He checks his phone for the time. He still has half an hour to go. He looks at the window where thick raindrops drum against the glass. Lawonji weakly ponders whether or not to arrive late to work on purpose, but decides against it.
It would be childish.
Besides, he always carries a foldable umbrella, no matter the weather. His students know that.
So do his colleagues.
And he knows that they would not shy away from teasing him for trying to stay out of the rain so desperately. On most days, Lawonji doesn't mind the rain. But this morning, the sky had been steel gray when he woke up, clouds heavy with water. And his thoughts have been maudlin ever since getting up. It happens sometimes. And he knows that it will pass. He just really doesn't like it whenever it happens. He lifts a finger and absentmindedly trails it along the glass, following the path of a stray raindrop as it glides down the window. From between his fingers, he catches glimpses of something.
Colorful? Red and yellow?
Lawonji isn't sure at first about what it is, but it's a stark contrast to the grayscale morning, and his mind aches for anything warm and vibrant. He takes another sip of tea and wipes away some of the condensation clinging to the inside of the warm tea parlor window. On the opposite side of the street, there is a bus stop. Right now, there is a man in slacks, a dress shirt, a colorful tie, and what seems like a hand-me-down suit jacket standing next to a tiny child. Lawonji cannot prevent the corners of his lips to quirk upon seeing that the child's coat has a collar and shape of a bright yellow dog, with eyes printed onto the hood and an orange beak attached to it. While it is a raincoat, it seems to be a bit too small for the child. It doesn't close at the front, and the hood keeps sliding from the child's head. At least the child's shoes seem sturdy enough to keep the water out. Lawonji observes as the man holds up a tiny, fox-shaped backpack over the child's head to shield them from the rain, while he himself keeps on getting rained on. Despite the miserable situation, both the child and the man appear to laugh while waiting for the bus. It's such a warm scene that Lawonji can't do anything but watch them for a few moments longer before something...
He couldn't tell you what exactly it is if you asked him at gunpoint.
Makes him get up, order another tea to go, pay his own, and cross the street to the bus stop. Once there, Lawonji feels stupid. He's here now, but what is he supposed to say? Those people are complete strangers, and he frankly has no idea what he's doing. So, he just wordlessly lifts his umbrella to shield the man and his child. The kid, a young boy, Lawonji realizes, looks up at him, emitting a tiny, "Oh!" as a man slowly turns and rights himself to look at Lawonji. He is... a lot. Lawonji is normally not someone who lets himself be influenced by appearances, but the man in front of him is beautiful. There is no doubt about it. He looks at Lawonji with wonder in his eyes before smiling at him so brightly that the sky appears bright blue for a split second. Lawonji swallows.
"You are wet,"
he says dumbly, and nearly kicks himself in the shin.
"Perfect, Lawonji. Your ability to communicate went down the drain, washed away by the rain."
The man raises an eyebrow and shapes his lips into a lopsided grin, while reaching up to fix his ponytail.
"So are you,"
he points out in a voice that is higher than Lawonji's and more energetic, but still melodious and pleasant. He inclines his head towards Lawonji's shoulder, where the rain has started to soak into his light summer coat and drips onto his braid. The umbrella is, in fact, a bit too small to comfortably fit two people under it, let alone two adults and a child. Lawonji has not even noticed that he is being rained on. For some reason, he finds that he doesn't care.
"The wet shoulder does not bother me,"
he lets the man know.
"But you have neither a coat nor an umbrella with you, and you are here with a child. I can share my umbrella."
The man stares at him
open-mouthed, before emitting a bark of laughter. "All right," he says. "We're just waiting for the bus anyway, so you won't have to wait for too long. I'm Wei Wuxian, but you can call me Wei Ying. And this is my son, Ai Yuan."
"Hello, pretty Gugu,"
Ai Yuan says, and waves up at Laonji. "Ai Yuan," Wei Wuxian whines. "You can't just walk up to a stranger and call them pretty Gugu." Ai Yuan pouts.
"But it's true, and Yanli Guogu says it's bad to tell lies."
"Ivan is right,"
Laonji says. He doesn't know why, but watching Wei Wuxian theatrically sputter about how unfilial his only child is, while the child in question grins a toothy grin up at him, does things to his heart.
"I am Laonji,"
he introduces himself.
"You can call me Lantern."
The words are out quicker than he realizes what he just said. To Laonji's surprise, it doesn't feel wrong or unjust, like the betrayal to his mother that he imagined it to be. No, it feels right somehow.
"All right, Lantern," Wei Wuxian says. "When grants us humble ones the honor of being saved from this downpour?"
"It is a courteous thing to do,"
Laonji replies.
"I felt compelled to, even though I don't know why. And now I cannot stop staring at your eyes and your smile and your adorable child,"
he does not say. Wei Wuxian laughs again, but he grows silent as he watches Laonji extend the cup with the tea in it at him.
"I don't wish you to catch a cold,"
he says quietly, while being painfully aware that he might come across as a creep. Offering an umbrella to a stranger and their child is one thing. Buying them a drink unsolicited is something else entirely. Laonji feels like a fool.
Lantern, thank you,
Wei Wuxian says, taking the cup.
"Mama, no!"
Ivan cries. Wei Wuxian looks at him puzzled.
"Why not, Radish? It's just tea."
"Mama said never to take things strangers tried to give you. They might be poisoned."
Laonji inclines his head, sheepish.
"Ai Yuan is correct, once again. I apologize. You may pour the tea down the drain if you wish."
Wei Wuxian sighs and runs a hand through Ai Yuan's dark hair. "You are right, Radish, and Baba is sorry for worrying you."
"And I am sorry for worrying you as well,"
Laonji tells Ai Yuan.
"I will wait until I know you and your Baba a bit better until I offer to buy you tea again."
Wei Wuxian's eyebrows pay a visit to his hairline.
"Oh, so does that mean you will save me from the rain again, Lantern? If that's the case, I will forget my umbrella on purpose."
"Ridiculous,"
Lantern says, but he can feel the corners of his mouth lift up again and the tips of his ears heat up as Ivan laughs and Wei Wuxian winks at him. This man is shameless. Laonji adores him already. They both wave at him when their boss finally arrives. Ayuan even runs to the back of the bus and continues waving through the window until the bus disappears around the bend. Laonji still arrives to work on time. It's a long day, only made longer by the dreariness of the weather and the fact that he cannot seem to concentrate on his work. His mind keeps on wandering back to this morning's encounter with Wei Wuxian and his son. It's absolute insanity, he thinks. He can't have developed a crush in the, 20 minutes he spent with them? Wei Wuxian might be handsome and charming, and Ai Yuan might be cute, but what if he gets to know Wei Wuxian and discovers the man's an absolute idiot? Or worse, in our relationship? Married? Straight? Then again, Laonji is positive that Wei Wuxian was flirting with him, so either he is at least remotely interested in man, or he's just a flirt, married or not. Mulling over those details will get Laonji nowhere, he decides. Yet, I cannot ban this sunshine man and his tiny son from his mind. They're still occupying his thoughts when he gets home, cooks, plays the piano, showers, then goes to bed. He hopes that he will see them in the morning. Lan Wenji does see them in the morning. They're waiting for the bus again. This time, the sky is overcast, but it's dry. The weather forecast stating that there's a small 10% possibility for rain. Ayuan is still wearing his dark raincoat, even though Lan Wenji knows that it's too small to prevent the child from getting soaked. Today he's wearing his own backpack since his father doesn't need to shield him from the rain with it. Still, as Lan Wenji makes his way over to the pair, he opens his umbrella and holds it over them. Wei Wuxian turns, bewildered, then beams at him.
Lan Chen, my knight in shining armor! How nice to see you again!
Chen ge ge!
Ayuan squeals, jumping up and down in excitement.
Hello, Ayuan. Wei Ying.
Lan Wenji greets both of them.
Do you live nearby? Wei Wuxian asks with a grin. Or how come you're here again? You're not stalking us, right?
Lan Wenji shakes his head, then looks over to the tea parlor.
Having tea at the Magnolias is part of my morning routine before work, he explains.
Oh, yeah, we only recently moved here. That's why you didn't see us prior to yesterday, Wei Wuxian says. I take the car to bring Ayuan to preschool, but I don't have the patience to wrestle traffic that early in the morning, and finding a parking spot is a nightmare. Plus, Ayuan adores riding the bus, don't you, Radish?
Ayuan nods enthusiastically, the hood of his stock coat bouncing in rhythm with his head movements.
And it's only a short distance by foot from Ayuan's preschool to my office, so I get to have a nice walk every day,
Wei Wuxian adds sunnily. Lan Wenji raises an eyebrow.
Even in the rain, without a coat or an umbrella?
Wei Wuxian stares at him, then laughs.
Lan Chen, were you worried for my well-being? I do have a hard immune system, otherwise I would be rendered useless by every little bug this one brings home from preschool.
He playfully ruffles Ayuan's hair.
Really, don't worry about it. My office has a shower, and I always have at least one change of clothes at work.
What do you do for a living?
Lan Wenji inquires. He briefly wonders if it's too personal of a question, but then he thinks that this is a fairly regular one to ask. There are other ones he would like to ask Wei Wuxian that are far more private, like...
Are you married? Do you have a partner? If not, are you perhaps open to dating men? Because I am very open to it, in your presence.
Lan Wenji blinks, catching his own thoughts. What is wrong with him? But Wei Wuxian only smiles his sunshine smile.
I'm an environmental engineer. Right now, we're planning and developing new projects, so I'm at the office a lot. But usually I also supervise projects on site. You?
I teach postgraduate classes on poetry and poetics. The trans-historical and cross-cultural approach, to summarize it.
Lan Wenji says, and looks away. For some reason, it sounds boring to his own ears, even if he absolutely loves what he's doing.
Really?
Wei Wuxian says, perking up.
I mean, I never studied poetry or anything literature-related, but I've always been interested in it. Maybe we should sit down for a tea one of these days, and you could tell me more about your job?
Lan Wenji nods, slowly.
I would like that. You can tell me more about what environmental engineers do, then.
Wei Wuxian beams at him, then rummages around in his trouser pockets until he finds a business card and a pen. He scribbles his phone number on the back and hands it to Lan Wenji.
Text me your number, he says. That way we can arrange something one of these days. I feel like we'd need a bit more time than just 20 minutes each morning to probably get to know each other.
Chen ge ge, does this mean you will come to the park with us on Sunday?
Ayuan pipes up.
Ayuan, please!
Wei Wuxian scolds without much heat behind it.
I'm sure Lenten has other things to do than to hang out with the both of us on his free day, hmm?
Lawenji hums. Weiwuxian is right, in the sense that on Saturdays, Lawenji usually meets with his family in the afternoon, after preparing coursework for the following week, and Sundays are reserved for himself. He likes to spend them in meditation, reading, maybe even composing. If he's feeling down, he indulges in a visit at the local bunny cafe for an extra serotonin boost. He looks at Weiwuxian and Aiyuan and decides that these two make for an equally good serotonin boost.
Actually, I would be free on Sunday,
he says before he can change his mind.
I would gladly accompany you to the park, if the weather allows for it, and the two of you would have me.
Weiwuxian's eyes grow wide.
Really? I mean, only if you really want to? Aiyuan is an energetic kid, so park visits can always get a little hectic.
I don't mind,
Lawenji replies, and means it. He has known Aiyuan for a total of about 40 minutes, and is already enamored with the child. He might also be enamored with the child's father, as ridiculous as it may sound, but he decides not to examine that too closely for now.
It's a date, then!
Weiwuxian exclaims, and Lawenji nods in silence. The boss arrives soon after. Lawenji sits them both off with a wave of his hand. He does text Weiwuxian his number, then puts his phone on silent mode until his lunch break. Once again, he finds it difficult to concentrate, with his thoughts running back to Weiwuxian and him saying,
It's a date, then!
A date? Lawenji hasn't been on a date in years. The last time he did, he had just started university. The young man in question had been polite. They had talked over shared tea, and had then decided they were not compatible, parting ways. It usually boiled down to people finding him too stern or too boring. Part of him fears that Weiwuxian will feel the same upon spending more time with him, and for a short moment, Lawenji panics and considers calling off the date before his heart gets broken. He does not cancel the date. He's far too curious about Weiwuxian and Aiyuan, and thinks that maybe he should give them a chance. If nothing comes of it, they could become friends at least. Lawenji thinks that he would really like that. He texts his brother.
2. Qichen.
Brother, what would you recommend I wear for a date at the local park?
From Qichen.
Oh? What kind of date are we talking about? A casual date with friends? A coffee date? A romantic one?
2. Qichen.
Potentially romantic. A child will be present.
From Qichen.
Wangji, is there anything you wish to tell me?
2. Qichen.
Brother, please.
From Qichen.
I am just teasing. Wear whatever you wish. The essential is that you feel good in it. As long as your clothes make you feel positive about yourself, you will radiate positivity to those around you too.
2. Qichen.
Thank you, brother.
From Qichen.
I want details, Wangji.
2. Qichen.
Gossip is forbidden.
Lawenji spends the rest of the day mulling over what he could wear. While he likes to take care of his appearance, he usually would not care that much about what someone else thinks of his clothing style outside of his professional setting. Still, he finds himself staring at his open wardrobe that evening, taking in all the dress shirts and suits and soft woolen jumpers and workout clothes and the odd long skirt he likes to wear around the house. Nothing sparks the joy that he is looking for. He sits down on his bed, feeling defeated. He wonders why. It's a simple date. Nothing to lose his mind over. He's sure that it would be fine even if he was to appear in his rattiest old t-shirt and sweatpants. While he likes that t-shirt and sweatpants, the thought of wearing them to a date makes him shudder. Lawanji sighs when he hears his phone vibrate. He supposes that his brother wants to needle him about said date, but to his surprise, it's a message from Wei Wuxian.
From Wei. Hey, Linton. Sorry for bothering you. Here's just someone who really wanted to say goodnight to you. Image attached.
Curious, Lawanji opens the attachment. It's a photograph of a sleepy Ai Yuan tucked into bed, with a rabbit plush held tightly in his arm. He is waving weakly at the camera, clearly on the brink of falling asleep, but smiling nonetheless. Lawanji can feel himself smiling back at the picture.
Two, Wing.
You are not a bother. If he is still awake, say goodnight from me as well, and wish him sweet dreams.
From Wing. He really likes you, you know. He usually doesn't get attached to strangers so quickly. You must be special. Two, Wing.
I doubt that. I am really fond of him, too.
Two, Wing.
Apologies if that was too personal.
From Wing. Ah, Lantan, no need. I like that you like my kid. He deserves only the best people around. Two, Wing.
Wing considers me a good person.
From Wing. I do. Hype.
Lawanji stares at the heart emoji, trying to make sense of it. He knows that he and Wei Wuxian are sympathetic to one another, maybe even like each other. Wei Wuxian doesn't seem like the type of person who would let a stranger hang around himself and his child if he really disliked them. Is the heart emoji a way of expressing that? Or is Wei Wuxian trying to express something else? Instead of mulling over all of this until his head explodes, Lawanji asks.
Two, Wing.
Hyun likes rabbits.
From Wing. Yes, they're his favorite animal. Two, Wing.
Then he and I have something in common.
From Wing. Lanjan! You're like Brittany! That's so cute! Crying.
Lawanji halves a laugh at the misspelled bunnies and shakes his head in funness.
Two, Wing.
It is late. I will be retiring to bed. Have a good night, Wing.
From Wing. You too. See you tomorrow.
Lawanji does go to bed after that. He falls asleep with a smile on his face. Their short meetings at the bus stop become a daily ritual after that. Every day for the rest of the week, as a means of greeting, Lawanji opens his umbrella to shield Wei Wuxian and Ai Yuan, regardless of the weather. Wei Wuxian beams at him and accepts the cup of tea and the pastry Lawanji brings along, and Ai Yuan attaches himself to Lawanji's leg. They talk about the day ahead, their plans and expectations. Sometimes their hands brush, and one of them, or both, blush. Neither of them takes their hand away. Every day, Ai Yuan demands a proper hug before he enters the bus alongside his father. Every evening, Lawanji and Wei Wuxian converse in text messages. Wei Wuxian complains about his boss. Lawanji tells funny anecdotes about his students. Every evening, Lawanji looks at his wardrobe and despairs until he remembers the box sitting at the foot of the wardrobe. He pulls it out and opens it. It has been a while since he has worn his hanfu. It's not a traditional one, rather a modern reimagining of a traditional man's hanfu. Lawanji had seen it in a shop window and, completely on a whim, tried it on. It's a relatively simple set, comprised of a pair of dark trousers and a wide open cross-collar jacket, which he likes to pair with a dark mamian jute. The highlight of the whole set is a long sheer overcoat embroidered with cranes taking flight. Luanji knows that he is objectively handsome, but as he tried on this hanfu, he felt beautiful for the first time in his life. He runs his hands across the sheer fabric of the overcoat and wonders if this isn't too much. Then again, he spots young people wearing hanfu on the regular when he's out and about, so why shouldn't he? He wants to feel beautiful when he meets Wei Wuxian. Not only for himself, he knows that's the important part, but also for Wei Wuxian. Saturday afternoon with his uncle and his brother turns out to be uneventful. Lao Wenji even manages to avoid needling from Lan Xichen, promising to fill him in on everything once the date is over. Lan Xichen gives him a side eye, but vows not to ask until at least Monday during Lao Wenji's lunch break. They don't meet at the bus stop on Sunday. They agree to meet at the park itself, by the playground with the elephant-shaped slide. Wei Wuxian has already laid out a picnic blanket and some of Ayuan's toys on the patch of grass next to the playground area when Lao Wenji arrives, carrying a picnic basket. Wei Wuxian is in jeans and a dress shirt that he wears over a tank top, loosely tied at the waist, arms rolled up to bare his forearms. His hair is not in a ponytail, but in a half-up, half-down style, tied with a red scrunchie at the back. Even from a distance, Lan Wenji can see the sun reflected in Wei Wuxian's eyes.
"He's so beautiful,"
he thinks, then clears his throat while approaching the picnic blanket.
"Lan Chen!"
Wei Wuxian exclaims while getting up, and promptly falls back onto his behind as he gets a glimpse of Lan Wenji, who bends down and extends a hand to him to help him up again.
"Wei Ying, are you all right?"
Lan Wenji asks. Wei Wuxian just stares at him, mouth open, before he says,
"Holy shit, you're gorgeous!"
Lan Wenji can feel himself blush as Wei Wuxian takes his hand and lets himself be dragged upright.
Wow, sorry about that. That hanfu looks really good on you. Do you wear them often in your free time?"
Lan Wenji inclines his head.
"Thank you. This is the only one I own. I do not wear it as often as I probably should. It makes me feel beautiful."
"It shows,"
Wei Wuxian agrees, then hastens to add,
"Not that you're not beautiful in a suit too, Lan Chen. I mean, look at you. But you're glowing today."
Lan Wenji averts his eyes, bashful. He's usually not one to blush easily, but somehow Wei Wuxian manages to push all of the right buttons.
"Wei Ying is also very beautiful,"
he says, and watches as Wei Wuxian hides his face behind his hands.
"Lan Chen, don't just say things like that. My heart can't take it."
Lan Wenji smiles at him.
"Where is Ayuan?"
he asks.
"Over there on the swing," Wei Wuxian says. "Ayuan, look who's here."
Ayuan looks over to his father, spots Lan Wenji, then jumps off the swing to launch himself into Lan Wenji's arms.
"Chang'e, you're here. You look like a prince. I missed you."
The boy babbles at him, all excited. Lan Wenji gives him a tight hug.
"I missed you too, little one,"
he replies, and opens the picnic basket he has brought with him. He fishes out a wrapped present and holds it out to Ayuan.
"This is for you."
Ayuan gasps, then looks over to his father.
"Lan Chen, you shouldn't have. You're so sweet, thank you. What do we say, Radish?"
"Thank you, Chang'e."
"You're welcome. Open it,"
Lan Chen says. Ayuan tries to pry the wrapping paper from the rectangular present, then waddles over to his father for help. Inside, they find an encyclopedia for children on rabbits and other animals of the forest.
"Mama, it's a bunny book!"
Ayuan exclaims.
"And there are foxes and squirrels, too!"
"I can see that, Radish,"
Wei Wuxian says, then looks over to Lan Wenji. Where's my gift, Lan Chen? He teases with a smile. Lan Wenji raises an eyebrow, reaches into his basket again, and takes out an elongated cylindrical wrapped present. He hands it over to Wei Wuxian, who eyes it with interest. He opens the wrapping paper on one side, takes a peek at what's hidden inside, and erupts into loud laughter. He wheezes. An umbrella? I had no idea you could be this funny. Lan Wenji shrugs.
I was under the impression that this would be a useful gift.
Wei Wuxian laughs again. You know that I do own an umbrella, right? Lan Wenji remains silent. In truth, he had assumed upon first meeting them that Wei Wuxian and Ai Yuan might not be that financially well off. But Wei Wuxian's profession as an environmental engineer allows for a relatively good pay. Wei Wuxian must be reading it on Lan Wenji's face, for he chuckles. Let me guess. You saw Ai Yuan's too small duck coat and my ill-fitting suit and the fact that I had no umbrella and thought we were on the poor side, right? The truth is, Ai Yuan owns a fitting coat. It's a fox one, to match his backpack. But he still prefers to wear the dog one, even if he's almost grown out of it. Every morning he insists on wearing it, and I keep on telling him that he won't be able to fit in it at all one day, but really, look at him, Lan Chen. He's too cute in it. As if summoned, Ai Yuan gets up and does a little duck waddle dance around the picnic blanket to showcase the beak on the hood and the little sewn-on ducktail at the back of the coat. Now, the suit. That's on me, Wei Wuxian goes on. I am one of those people who wait too long before they get their clothes dry cleaned, so I had a bunch of them that needed to be cleaned, and because I am me, I forgot to pick them up again. I had to borrow one of my brother's old suit jackets for work and kinda just kept on wearing it for the week. Lan Wenji inclines his head.
I should not have assumed. I apologize.
Wei Wuxian waves him off.
Pfft, Lan Chen. There are worse things to assume of someone. It's fine. I'm only glad that we still would have been worthy of your presence.
He jokes. Lan Wenji fixes him with a glare.
People's financial wealth is no indicator of their personality and stands in no relation to their worth as a person.
That's true, Wei Wuxian muses. Still, I'm glad I forgot my umbrella that day. Otherwise, I would have never gotten to know you, and I am a wealthier man for it. Lan Wenji's chest feels warm. It's a feeling he only caught glimpses of so far. But here, on this picnic blanket, in company of this man and his child, who were absolute strangers no less than a week ago, he feels it bloom in his heart. They push Ai Yuan on the swing for a while before they all grow hungry and eat the salads and sandwiches Lan Wenji has packed. Ai Yuan falls asleep after that, his head pillowed on Lan Wenji's thigh. Lan Wenji observes him and absentmindedly cards his fingers through his hair. You're so good with him, Wei Wuxian says. Do you have kids?
I have students,
Lan Wenji deadpans, and Wei Wuxian snorts.
I don't have any children of my own. No,
he clarifies.
There's currently no partner either with whom I could have some.
You'd be a fantastic father, Wei Wuxian comments. Lan Wenji thinks there is something wistful in his voice. It took me a while to get used to being one. I had initially not planned on being a father, but then some things happened with his family and I kind of fell in love with him, you know? He's so sweet and clever and kind. I just couldn't stand the thought of him being stuck in an orphanage for heaven knows how long. Lan Wenji pauses.
He's not your biological son?
Wei Wuxian shakes his head. Nope. I adopted him. Wasn't that easy with me being a single and all, but I always like to think that we were meant to be a family.
You truly are.
Lan Wenji says, still stroking Yayun's hair.
I can see how much you love each other and care for each other. Every second of which I have seen you two interact tells me that you are a wonderful father.
Wei Wuxian looks at Lan Wenji with shining eyes. In a swift motion, he scoots closer to Lan Wenji and leans his head against Lan Wenji's shoulder. Lan Wenji goes still. Wei Wuxian's voice is quiet when he speaks again. You know, I sometimes doubt myself. Like when Ivan got sick for the first time, I panicked. He had such a high fever and I didn't know what to do. We got through it eventually and he recovered with the help of a good pediatrician and much patience, but... And I was convinced I had not done enough. That I was not fit to be a dad. So, to hear you say that you think I am... Thank you, Lan Chen. That means much to me. Slowly, carefully, Lan Wenji moves his free hand over to take Wei Wuxian's hand to his own and intertwines their fingers together.
My brother and I were raised by my uncle.
He begins.
My father was estranged, and my mother fell ill and passed when I was 6 years old. My uncle was still very young. He was barely of legal age himself when he decided to take us in. He too struggled. I believe that every parent does, that it is in the nature of a parent to doubt themselves sometimes. However, I do believe that, while there is no such thing as a perfect parent in the world, as long as I love their children and treat them with love and kindness, they will do good by their children. And you are certainly doing good by Ivan, Wei Ying.
Wei Wuxian raises his head to look at Lan Wenji. His eyes are red-rimmed and filled with tears again, yet he is still smiling. Even like this, Lan Wenji thinks that Wei Wuxian is the most beautiful person he has ever seen. Slowly, as if pulled by a magnet, they lock eyes, leaning towards each other. And Ivan lets out a sigh and blinks himself awake. Wei Wuxian clears his throat and smiles at him. Had a good nap, Radish? He asks. And Ivan nods, still a bit sleepy.
Mama,
he says.
Can't you marry Jiang Gege? He's so nice and I like him. He's good to nap on.
Wei Wuxian laughs again. Radish, you can't just ask me to marry the first person you like. What if they don't want to?
Well, then they are stupid.
Ivan decides.
Wei Yuan! Wei Wuxian sputters. Lan Wenji smiles before he once again says.
Ivan is right. You are a wonderful man, and he is a wonderful child. Anyone would be stupid to refuse you.
See? Ivan says. Jiang Gege is on my side.
I am,
Lan Wenji confirms.
But I still do think that your Baba is right, too. You should not marry the first person you like, unless your heart tells you to do so without a shadow of a doubt.
Ivan pouts, thinks it all over, then nods.
Okay, he says. Can you still read to me, Jiang Gege?
So, Lan Wenji reads to Ivan for a bit from a storybook Wei Wuxian has brought before they pack up their things and walk through the park. They look at the ducks in the pond, get ice cream at the nearby ice cream truck, then walk some more. Ivan insists on holding both of their hands, so he ends up walking in between them. Several people turn to look at them. Lan Wenji wonders what they might be thinking. Do they look like a family to them? Lan Wenji finds that the thought is... pleasant. He would really much like that. A small family, with Wei Wuxian at his side, and Ai Yuan as her son. He blinks himself out of it. while Lan Wenji knows that his crush on Wei Wuxian has morphed into something more at a freakishly fast pace, he can't be sure of Wei Wuxian's feelings, even if that moment on the picnic blanket had felt like something more. Maybe Wei Wuxian was just grateful for the reassuring words Lan Wenji had given him. Maybe that's what Wei Wuxian sees in him. A very good friend, nothing more. And the rest is Lan Wenji's wishful thinking. If that is the case, Lan Wenji will accept this friendship as the most precious gift he has ever received and honor it as such, while keeping his love for Wei Wuxian and his son safe in his heart. They part ways shortly before dinner time. Wei Wuxian's sister is going to pick Ai Yuan up for a sleepover, and Wei Wuxian wants to be home and pack a few things before she arrives. Once home, Lan Wenji texts his brother.
To Xichen.
Brother, I think I am in serious trouble.
From Xichen.
Please do not panic, Wangji. We can manage. Have you talked about DNA testing? Even if the child turns out to be truly yours, I am sure everything will be all right again.
To Xichen.
Brother.
From Xichen.
You said there was a child involved, so I assumed.
To Xichen.
You know that I am not interested in women.
From Xichen.
But you also know what nonsense we can get up to when we're intoxicated.
To Xichen.
Let me call you.
So, Lan Wenji calls his brother and tells him about Wei Wuxian and Ai Yuan. How they met, how in love Lan Wenji already is with both of them after literally only having known them for a week.
Wangji, Lan Xichen says.
I know this seems all very quick and rushed, and I do admit that it worries me a bit. But if your heart is sure about this, then maybe it's worth giving this a try. Just, you know, a child is a huge responsibility, right?
I know, brother. I need to think it over. My head tells me that I need to slow down and reflect, which would be the wise thing to do. But my heart, it tells me I should not let this go. I've never felt so intensely for someone before. It's as if I had known both of them for at least one lifetime already.
Lan Xichen chuckles.
Who knows? Maybe you're fated. While I concur and think you should think this through, I will also tell you to be brave, Wangji. If you really feel that those two people are the ones you hold in your heart, then it might be worth giving it a shot. Especially since they both seem to like you very much as well. You can never know what would come of it if you don't give it a try.
Lan Wenji hums.
Thank you, brother. I guess I am just afraid.
That's normal, Wangji. Remember, no matter what comes of this, Uncle and I will always be there for you.
They exchange pleasantries and end the call. Lan Wenji feels drained all of a sudden, so he has an early dinner, showers, and goes to bed. Before turning off his bedside lamp, he sends one last text to Wei Wuxian.
To Wei Ying.
I hope you arrived home safe. Thank you for today. I really enjoyed our time together. I am wishing you the sweetest dreams only. Sleep well, Wei Ying. See you tomorrow.
Lan Wenji wakes up to discover a string of text messages on his phone. He must have slept right through them, a testament of how tired he really was. They are all from Wei Wuxian, time-stamped between 2.30 a.m. and 3.30 a.m. Lan Wenji is immediately worried.
From Wei Ying. Lan Zhan. Lan Zhan. I was so sad when we had to go home, so I went out with my brother and now I'm drunk, Lan Zhan, and I need to tell you stuff. I need to tell you now, Lan Zhan, or I will never do it. You were so beautiful today, Lantern. I could not stop staring at you. I can never stop staring at you. You're always beautiful. You have such pretty eyes. Has anyone ever told you that? And your hair, please never cut it, Lantern. It looks so soft, and I want to run my fingers through it to see if it's as soft as it is. And your mouth? Heavens, your mouth! I wanted to kiss you so badly today, you know that? I wanted to kiss you so often already, every time you're nice to me, every time you're good to Ivan. I want to kiss you when you bring me tea and look at me with those soft eyes and smile, that tiny smile I love so much. I love you so much. It's been a week and I'm head over heels in love with you. But I won't tell you because then you'd say that I'm a freak because it's only been a week. And who the hell confesses after a week? Then you'd be disgusted and leave. But I know you'd be nice about it because you're just so good. You would sit me down and tell me that it won't work because you got your job and I got mine and a kid would be too much for you, and I get that. Because it is much work, but it's so worth it. He is so worth it. He would tell me that we could still be friends, and I would say, yeah, okay, that sounds great. And then I would go home and cry for months straight. I never cried that much whenever someone told me that they didn't want me or didn't want the kid or didn't want me because of the kid, because fuck them. But for you, Lantern, for you I would cry. I think I would never be able to truly stop crying. Tell me, have we met before? I feel like I know you from somewhere. Have we met in dreams? When we were kids? In another life? I still think about what Ivan said, and he's right. We should totally get married, Lantern. I would love that so much. You'd be the perfect second Baba for my radish. He adores you so much. Almost as much as I adore you. I would love to marry you. Look at me. Now I've written all of this and was stupid enough to send it. Remind me to never touch Baijiu again, Lantern. And now, you probably think, what a lunatic, and you know what? You're right. I am a lunatic. A complete, certified, full TM. I am stupid. Stupid for writing this, but also stupid for you. Don't forget me, Lantern. It's all I ask of you.
Now when she rereads the messages over and over again, and prays to every deity that will hear him that this was not only the alcohol speaking out of Wei Wuxian, but also his sincerest of hearts. He knows that he and his brother only speak the truth when they are inebriated, which happens very rarely, so he can only hope that it will be the same for Wei Wuxian. Lan Wenji tries to call him. The call gets redirected to voicemail. He leaves a message, asking Wei Wuxian to call him back, or to wait for him at their bus stop. Lan Wenji gets to the tea parlor early. He doesn't drink his tea. He just fidgets with the cup and lets it grow cold while he waits. He waits until he technically would have to leave for work. He takes out his phone, and for the first time in years, he calls in sick. He technically isn't sick in the traditional sense, but still, he aches. Lan Wenji waits at their bus stop. Wei Wuxian never comes. Heartbroken, Lan Wenji gets up and leaves the tea parlor, the barista giving him a sympathetic look. He can only hope that Wei Wuxian will get his message and decide to speak to him again. Even if this was all just drunken haziness on Wei Wuxian's part, Lan Wenji would love to see him again. Talk to him again, if only to say goodbye. It occurs to him then that he doesn't even know where Wei Wuxian lives. He just has a name and a phone number, no address. Not even an email address. Should Wei Wuxian decide to block him or to change phone numbers, Lan Wenji will lose him completely. and when she can feel his heart rate go up, it suddenly feels difficult to breathe. He rummages around his coat pockets for something, anything, that might give him some comfort. His fingers brush against the edge of a piece of cardstock. Lawenji fishes it out of his pocket, only to discover that it's the business card Weiwuxi has given him, with his phone number written on the back. It's the only lead Lawenji has, so he sprints back to the bus stop, just in time to catch the latest bus. He asks the driver if he knows of any preschools near his route. The driver only knows of one and tells him where to disembark. There is no way of being sure that this is the right preschool. It seems deserted when Lawenji finds it. Of course, the children must all be inside now. He can't bring himself to wait for break. He's certain the preschool teachers would chase him away anyway. He has no business lurking around a preschool if he has no child to pick up. He thinks of Ayuan. He would love for this child to be his child, too. If we wish I would only let him. His heart aches even more. Raindrops hit the pavement. Lawenji reaches for his bag to take out his umbrella, only to find that he does not have his bag with him. He must have left it at the tea parlor. He's positive the friendly barista will find it and keep it safe for him to pick up. As the rain begins to fall in earnest, Lawenji thinks about the absurdity of this situation, that the day he found the light of his life, he was the one sheltering them with an umbrella, and how he's the one being soaked now, right when he lost that light again. Lawenji thinks about it and cannot help but laugh. He laughs until his lungs hurt, leaned against the random wall of a building, and laughs until he cries. He could look at the business card again. Weiwuxi has told him that his office building is in walking distance from Ayuan's preschool, but without knowing if this even is the right preschool, what good would it do? He can't just show up there and demand to see Weiwuxi because he absolutely needs to tell him that he's the love of his life. Lawenji feels as if all energy has been drained from him. And so he just stands there, mourning a love that could have been, but never was. Lawenji doesn't hear the footsteps approaching, only looks up when he notices that the rain isn't hitting him anymore. Instead, he finds that he's being sheltered by an umbrella. Lawenji knows this umbrella. It's the one he has bought for Weiwuxian as a gift. What a coincidence. As if the universe was mocking him. Lantern? He hears, and finally looks at who is holding the umbrella. For a moment, he thinks he might be hallucinating.
Weiying?
He asks, incredulous, and reaches out to touch, because surely this must be a trick of the light. But Weiwuxian's fingers, curled tightly around the handle of his umbrella, are solid and only slightly cold to the touch. Weiwuxian looks tired, like someone who has spent his night drinking and his morning living with the aftermath. His eyes are bloodshot, as if he had been crying too.
What are you doing here?
He asks Lawenji.
You weren't at the bus stop,
Lawenji replies.
I've been waiting for you. You never came.
Weiwuxian averts his gaze.
I thought you didn't want to see me anymore, he admits.
Jiejie brought Ayuan to school this morning, so I dropped myself up here. Bad idea. I cannot concentrate. My head hurts, so I called in sick and just walked around, waiting for a suitable time to pick up Ayuan and go home.
Weiying, why would I not want to see you anymore?
Weiwuxian swallows. The things I've texted you last night, you've seen them, right?
I just... It's too early, and we don't even know each other that well, and I am too clingy, and... So I thought before Ayuan gets too attached, and before I can't take the heartbreak anymore...
Now when she rights himself and takes both of Wei Wuxian's hands in his own.
Wei Ying,
he says.
Did you mean the things you said last night? Or were those just meaningless drunk ramblings?
Wei Wuxian sighs.
Lan Chen, what good would it do if I told you?
I have a right to know, Wei Ying. Please.
Liu Xin fixes him then with a defiant gaze.
If you must know, yes, I meant every word I said.
He almost spits out.
The fact that I think you'd make a good father for Ayuan, the fact that I cannot think about anything else than marrying you since you first brought it up, the fact that I am stupidly, madly in love with you, it's all true. I don't understand why it matters so much now. Why you're so cruel and have me say out loud?
Lan Wenjin should probably wait until Wei Wuxian finishes his sentence. But he feels as if he doesn't do anything right this instant, Wei Wuxian will disappear. He surges forward, takes Wei Wuxian's face between his hands, and kisses him. He kisses him with all the love he feels for him, with all the tenderness he can muster. He kisses him to say,
if this is goodbye, at least I'll have this.
He kisses him to say,
please don't go. I could not take it.
Wei Wuxian lets out a tiny squeak, but then the umbrella hits the ground and his arms come around Lan Wenjin's neck. He returns the kiss, tentatively at first, then with more passion. Lan Wenjin can taste salt on his lips. He doesn't know whose tears they are. They break the kiss, resting their foreheads together, and just breathing, the rain still beating down on them.
Please,
Lan Wenjin says, his voice barely above a whisper.
I know it's way too early to make such decisions, but I would love to try this. Being with you, with Ayuan. Nothing has ever felt this right in my whole life, Wei Ying. I am just as madly in love with you. Please give us a chance.
Lan Wenjin chuckles wildly. Look at us. What a pair we make. We're both sopping wet idiots.
As long as you're my idiot,
Lan Wenjin says, and Wei Wuxian laughs for good this time. I'll gladly be your idiot, if you'll be mine, he replies.
But Lan Chen, are you really sure? I mean, this is not just about me, it's also about Ayuan. I would not want him to get his hopes up just to get his heart broken. Lan Wenjin kisses him again, a chaste peck.
I adore your son,
Lan Wenjin confesses.
I would love nothing more than to try and be a good father for him, if you both would have me.
Wei Wuxian looks at Lan Wenjin again, and smiles, so brightly and warm that all the rain seems to disappear.
You are such a miracle,
Wei Wuxian says before it's his turn to place a kiss onto Lan Wenjin's lips.
What do you say? Do we pick up Ayuan? Say it's a family emergency. Then I'll drive us home and we can get warm and dry together.
That sounds wonderful,
Lan Wenjin replies. Lan Wenjin does pick up his bag the following day before he goes to work. This time, he not only gets to hug Ayuan as he enters the bus, but he also gets to see Wei Wuxian off with a kiss. To everyone's surprise, and everyone's relief, they do take their time until they get married. The wedding photographer doesn't question why they choose a busy bus stop opposite a tea parlor as one of the places to take wedding pictures at. After all, it's the little things that make life
the most important and worthwhile. The end. Thank you for listening.